everybody. It is Friday, September 22nd, 2017. This is, for the last time in a podcast studio,
yeah,
the 404 show.
I don't know if that's... I mean, the other studio is kind of like a podcast studio.
No, is it we're doing it in the big... What?
I mean, you could record a podcast in there. What is to say a podcast studio and isn't a podcast studio?
A telephone booth,
okay,
could be a podcast
right,
studio.
That's what I'm saying. My subway.
Your subway car.
Yeah.
Which you did last week.
Mm-hmm.
So let's tell everyone what we're doing next week.
Okay.
So next week is, hold on, I just had a lot of seltzer. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is the last, this is the penultimate episode.
It is.
Next week.
What's before the penultimate?
Pre-penultimate.
Is it?
Yeah.
And what about before that?
Before the pre-penultimate.
Okay.
I made up pre-penultimate.
Anti-penultimate? Oh, that's... Yeah,
that's
anti.
That's the one after.
No, anti, I think, is before, isn't it?
I don't know.
Antichamber, chamber.
Did you hear that? That's what? The entire planet falling asleep. So, next week, we're going to do a lot of cool things. We're going to have a star-studded send-off.
Okay.
Featuring the likes of... Jill Schlesinger,
mm-hmm,
Steve Guttenberg,
George Clooney,
mm-hmm, Sigourney Weaver.
Surprising. She came back in the Defenders, so it's not really surprising.
Big fan of the show, wanted to be here for the last one. Couldn't say no. Les Moonves.
Whoa, finally dipping in.
Justin Yu.
Mm-hmm.
And a cavalcade of CNET people.
Okay.
I'm opening the door up to anybody, really.
Uh-oh.
So if you want to come, no, I'm kidding. So we're gonna shoot it in the big studio. There's gonna be video. The show's gonna be kind of long too. We're gonna it's gonna be not weird, but it's gonna be a little fast and loose.
Okay,
is the best two words I'm gonna use to describe what I'm anticipating for next week.
That's exciting.
I think I'll be honest. I have received way more correspondence than I thought I would have. And I say I because no one's really emailing you. I'm the only one that has access to the email.
True.
So I'm just saying that.
I've gotten some Twitter stuff.
You got some Twitter stuff for sure.
Yeah.
The tweets have been lovely. Everyone writing in. Someone told me to check the subreddit that I hadn't been to in like a month. And there's like a lot of threads about everyone being real, bittersweet about the whole affair. You guys are the best. And I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate it. Right, Russ? I mean, like, this is...
Oh, it's great.
And, I know you came in here at, like, a strange time in terms of, like, where the show was at.
Sure.
And we hit the ground running, in my opinion, and it was a really great run. And I love you very much, more than just a host, but as a friend.
I feel the same way as well.
We're going to kiss now. Oh,
watch your hands, Jeff. Watch your hands. It's been great. And I've enjoyed every single episode that we've done. There hasn't been like a unfun episode to do on the show. I do honestly feel honored it'll be a bummer to
for sure
wrap it up.
I know. Oh my God. I think Abby Russell from Giant Bomb Next Door was just murdered. Apologize if you heard that. That's supposed to be quiet.
Terrifying.
So, yeah, I mean, like, there's it's tough to put into a short kind of sentence and encapsulate.
So we're going to spend 4 hours in the final.
Right. We're going to, I mean, it's going to go long.
It'll go long.
It might be 2 hours. I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
We're trying to work around. I know Justin's schedule is a little wonky next week, but he's going to definitely be here.
Great.
I've reached out to some other people, sort of waiting to see how that all shakes out. Some people are sending in video from what I hear. We'll see how that goes. So it should be rad.
I have a poetic way to end it. Let me see how you feel about this. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
So we go on for whatever, 2 hours. Over the course of that 2 hours, somebody slowly but surely lowers the volume until by the very end, you can't hear us at all.
I'd rather burn out than fade away. Yeah, that's one way to do it.
Yeah. That's Yoko Ono would end our podcast like that.
That'll be the equivalent of like shooting the podcast into space.
Yes.
And playing it out until you can't hear it anymore. George Clooney went in Gravity.
Exactly. Are there any shuttles going up? Maybe we can talk to Elon and he can send our podcast
shit,
up.
Shit, I feel like Elon Musk might be able to help a fellow internet person out.
They're sending like them into space all the time in these days.
SpaceX.
Yeah, they do that like every other day. They did a goofy shuttle exploding montage the other day to give you an idea of how often they blow shuttles up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty good.
They could probably sneak it in.
All right. So, you know, kind of business as usual. We're not going to go too long here today. We thought it'd be a good idea to just, you know, it hasn't been you and I in a while. And it's nice that this is like the last kind of moment.
The calm before the storm.
Sure. Yeah. If you want to put it that way. Mm-hmm. So there was Apple stuff this week.
Yeah. That, was it this week?
Well, the Apple reviews came out this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been interesting.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, so obviously, I think it was the week before the iPhone X got announced.
10.
iPhone X?
Nope. It's called iPhone 10.
Is it? That's how it's pronounced?
You didn't know that?
I think I must have missed how it was pronounced.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And is Tim Cook just like, yo, fuck the number 9? Is that
Microsoft did the same thing, didn't they? They skipped.
They did. They went Windows 8, Windows 10. 10.
Right. They did this. Isn't that weird?
Whoa, this conspiracy goes all the way to the top.
Maybe 9 just has like a bad connotation with people.
I don't understand.
It's also,
there's no way that's true.
It also doesn't make any sense. Like, it would have made sense for them to not call it the 10, because then they can like be like, well, this is the X line, and this is the ultra top end, and this is the like normal line. And
no, they could have just done that. It's not the X, it's the 10.
I realize it's confusing.
So what are they going to call it? Like the 10 Pro? Like, how's it all going to work?
Pro 2? Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to be...
Next year is going to be very confusing.
It's going to be the 10 Pro?
Yeah.
Anyway. No reviews for the 10 are out right, yet, because that's going to be for another month.
Right, another month. But the reviews that I read... Well, I read a big review of the watch, the LTE watch.
That's right. What do you think about that?
Well, it sounds like the LTE watch doesn't... work.
Full stop. Are you serious? Because I didn't read shit about that.
Yeah, so I read a Verge review of the LTE watch. I haven't used it myself, but and the general review was like they tried connecting to LTE like a lot, and it consistently would not work. And then
what?
After about an hour of like trying to do stuff with it, the battery was at 22%.
Stop it.
So that's not a good sign. Yeah, they gave it a 5 out of 10, which is probably the lowest score of the Verge has ever given an Apple product.
Maybe this is like the nail in the coffin for smartwatches. Or at least until battery tech gets way better.
It's pretty staggering. I don't know. I'd be curious to know whether that's like, is that an Apple problem? Is that like an AT&T/Verizon problem? Because it's hard to imagine them ever releasing a product that would have that little consistency. I mean, your selling point, their like one big branding point was LTE connection.
Right.
And the fact that it just does not consistently work is like a huge, big problem, ignoring the battery issue. So I don't really know what happened there.
And are we like, I don't want to put on a tinfoil hat or anything.
Do it.
But are we just like cool with like strapping of LTE radio to your wrist at all times?
Yeah, sure.
It's fine, right?
You keep an LTE radio by your balls at all times.
I put them... on my balls.
Okay, so there you go.
At all times.
I
understand.
I'm not a Howard Hughes guy.
No, for sure.
What's
the difference between wearing it on your wrist or keeping it in your pocket?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Not to mention, everywhere you go, you're bombarded by waves, and exactly. That's how it is now.
Especially at the beach.
Especially at the beach.
Mm-hmm. Did you read any reviews of the 8?
I did.
Okay, and what was your reading on the review?
My takeaway about the 8 is that the camera is like an amazing achievement.
Yeah, I've seen some examples of the camera doing some like crazy stuff.
Yeah, I think Apple talks of, obviously they love flexing that muscle, and they love giving keynotes, and they love doing the whole thing. And yeah, like on paper, the camera on paper sounds spectacular.
I've seen photos that look very good.
Yeah, I wasn't done, but like examples of it, it looks phenomenal.
I do want to say a brief interlude. I follow Scott Stein on Twitter, as everyone should, Jet Scott. And he was like, first photo of the New York Stock Exchange on the iPhone 8S. And the photo on Twitter was like 320p.
Why was it so?
I don't know. It got scaled for some reason.
You just couldn't figure it out. How is that? Twitter must have did that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the photos look really good. Yeah. You can't take anything away from that. I think the whole portrait mode and all that other junk is like...
Yeah, it's a little like putting... What do they call that in the back? Not moray. What's the blur?
Bokeh.
Bokeh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bokeh Raton.
Bokeh Raton.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, it's... You know, look, the camera is amazing. You can't take anything away from that. I think there are cameras on the market on other Android phones that can, you know, compete with that.
Yeah. 100%.
I think last year when the Pixel and Pixel XL, specifically the Pixel XL came out, that camera was kind of mind-blowing.
Sure.
And, you know, Apple seems to have maybe leapfrogged it, but I feel like we're approaching a diminishing returns.
Yeah, 100%. I think the difference is, like, I can't, like, right. gun to my head, could not tell you the major differences from camera to camera for the most part. You know, when they pull out new fancy features, like there was a feature I saw with the new 8 camera where it'll, when you do, like, I guess a portrait shot with a flash, it like blends together two photos. So the flash doesn't like blow out the front without blowing out the back.
It's smart.
So they do some neat stuff there. But like in terms of like actual like the quality of the blacks and it's stuff that I only half notice.
Yeah. I mean, like what are we really shooting for? Like, I don't get me wrong. I want better picture quality in every photo I take.
Right.
And I guess like, do they want to have something that could replace an SLR? Like, is that what they're trying to do? Because
I think that's the standard.
Because I think the picture quality and the megapixels, like, they're there.
Yeah.
I think the depth of field and, you know, obviously with interchangeable lenses and whatnot.
Right. So that's the big difference. I think an SLR, obviously, you're not going to get a zoom on an iPhone camera. You're not going to get...
Oh, not an analog zoom.
Right, an analog zoom. Yeah, you'll get a digital zoom. But you're not going to get the ability to, like... mess with f-stops and shutter speed.
But you can
and stuff
kind
like that.
Of trick it. You can kind of, like, I was watching this one gallery that it was a bunch of photos from the iPhone 8 and then from like a Nikon, like a $5,000 Nikon, and flipping through side by side, like it's tough to tell the difference.
Yeah, but I think if I'm guessing in those examples, the lighting was like very good.
It was good lighting. So I mean, look, the dual lenses is really kind of a brilliant.
Sure.
Not cheat, but like a safety net, a really good smart workaround for that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you. So when my wife and I went on vacation, like whatever, 3 weeks ago. For the eclipse, we brought a 5D camera, like an SLR camera, and our iPhones. And there's certain things that are just like easier and to take with an iPhone, and the end result is pretty much the same.
Yeah.
And there are certain things that like do not come out on an iPhone, and those will get better over time. But again, I think having the versatility of, well, this picture's not quite right, let me adjust it on the fly and keep making small adjustments and get it perfect, you know, it's nice. But, you know, for people that love photos and are photographers, you're always going to want an actual camera. It's always going to have an edge by the versatility standpoint. But for most people, day-to-day use, yeah, a phone camera at these days is fine.
I also think, so anyway, going back to the reviews and what the review said, a lot of people are disappointed with the speed of wireless charging.
Yeah.
It's sort of this like trickle that really can't, you know, do anything close to what like USB-C quick charging does.
Sure.
I read a lot of people were upset with
Well, let me ask you, is that different from like Samsung's quick charging?
No, I think all that the wireless charging, the Qi wireless stuff is just not expedited.
Qi?
I think it's Qi.
Okay.
It could be Qi.
Sure. Whatever.
No. God. We'll never get it right.
But I've also heard that they're working on technology to like, you don't even need to put it on a mat. Right?
So I remember...
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
That's some Tesla shit right there.
I know. That's like the first thing where I'm just like, oh, I don't understand how that could work. So like a room where like just because the phone's in the room, it charges.
Right.
I don't know. They were trying to describe it the way you get Wi-Fi in a room is like the way you would get power in the future.
Like, what if the pacemaker's there and like
Russ? That's what I'm saying. And look, I'm not putting tinfoil hats on, but you might have to wear one when you're in that room.
But we're not there yet. Obviously.
We're not there
it's
yet.
Not supporting that.
And then like you know, it's still the entire notion of like the lightning port is that what it is? Lightning port is. You know, a proprietary thing.
Sure.
And if you want quick charging, which the battery can do, you need to buy a USB-C adapter cable, which is a pain in the ass. And, you know, how many freaking dongles are you walking around?
Sure.
You know, you have the headphone. Now, look, I know the Google Pixel 2, which is about to be announced in a couple weeks, will likely forego the headphone jack too. But you know, at least it's like a USB-C standard where that seems to be coming the more pervasive interface.
Yeah, my attitude about the wireless charging stuff, like specifically with the mats, is the instance, the where I would use it is right next to my bed at night.
Right.
I'm going to bed, I just drop my phone down, it's charging. Great. And that's lovely. I think that's great. You know, if I'm out and about, am I going to carry a wireless charging mat with me? No, of course not. So I don't think it's a huge deal, to be honest.
You know, it almost comes off a little goofy because wireless charging has been around for years.
Sure.
And no one really seems to care about it enough to be like, well, that's a deal breaker for me. I just don't think we're at a point where it's like, oh, the mat, it's the mat or nothing. I can't plug in a thing.
Right. I think it's a really nice
thing. It's a novelty. It's a luxury.
It's a luxury, as is everything with the iPhone.
Of course.
But I think it, you know, there's a lot of like, quote, luxuries that happen on iPhones that I know I'll just not use. But this is one thing that like, I could absolutely see my day-to-day being improved because of the wireless charging.
Yeah. I'm just saying,
like, it might seem like a luxury and a gimmick, but like, it was really nice when they added the ability to plug in, like before Lightning, which I realize has a negative connotation, but before the Lightning cable, they used whatever the mini pin adapter, whatever the old Apple thing was. And the fact that you can plug that in, it wasn't reversible. You had to plug it in one way. It was like an HDMI cable.
Right.
And switching to Lightning and being able to plug it in either way was like really nice, especially like going to bed, plugging my phone in. I don't have to like know which side to plug it in. It's like a nice, and USB-C does the same thing. So it's nice when they make those improvements. I appreciate it.
It is. It's all the little things, right?
Yeah. It's still, we're looking at a $1,200 phone for the new one.
The price to me is sort of, it's a lot. It's a little crazy.
Yeah. And I think it's, from a business standpoint, I think it's really smart because more and more people are buying phones off of plans where it's like, well, I'm going to pay $40 a month for this phone, whatever it works out, $20 a month. And so people just are like, well, it's like a Netflix subscription and I pay it off like that. And that makes me personally uncomfortable because I don't like the idea of debt, but I also understand that like, obviously people, you know, need to have their new thing. So, you know, we'll see. I'm really curious to see like what people think of the iPhone X, I guess.
Right.
And whether the reviews are a market jump. For me, it's exciting, if only because it's the first time in many years, 3 or 4 years, that they've like really revamped the hardware.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
I talked to Scott. He had played with it a bunch. I'll get that in a sec. Last thing to tie up the iPhone 8 stuff. But no matter what review you read, they will say, I mean, I've read about 3 or 4 reviews.
Sure.
Most people say it's not worth the upgrade.
Sure.
So if you have a 7, it's not worth the upgrade. Another thing, this phone should have been called the 7S.
Yeah.
Like this is exactly what an S phone does.
Arguably, that's what the last, the 7 was too. Arguably, was a mid-step.
Right.
The 6 was a big revamp.
But at least there was already a 6S.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Point.
Like, it's not like they just sort of leapfrogged this thing. They hate the number 9.
Sure.
And I don't know why that's the 8 now, but it doesn't matter. It's just a name.
Yeah, it's just a name.
I think, you know, you say it's just a name, but like, I do think there will be some sort of problem they run into is people. I mean, look, from a business standpoint, yeah, it's smart because people will think the 8 is this big jump.
Sure.
But maybe it sort of reveals this, you know, falling short.
Yeah, I think it does kind of remove some of the thrill out of like, well, it's a new number, so you know this is going to be a big,
right.
It like means something.
Yeah.
And by kind of throwing the numbers all around, it creates a problem in the future where it's like it's not going to be an iPhone 12, right?
Yeah.
They're going to have to call it something else. And B, like, you know, what can people expect? Is there a reason to drop money down on this new phone if, again, the improvements are negligible?
So let's look at the Apple iPhone X or X, as Russ thought it was 20 minutes ago. So this thing, the whole lack of touch, I think, is a little crazy.
Yeah.
I think
you mean touch, the unlocking touch.
Yeah, the fingerprint scanning stuff. Just don't get that. I get it, and I know why it's not in there.
Yeah.
But I just... you know, I don't know. I have a very big problem with them essentially saying, nope, now it's your, it has to be your face. Like, yeah. you don't have to use the face thing.
Yeah.
You could use a passcode, right. Which is, I don't know. It's kind of, I feel like it's more secure.
Well, they spent a long time during the keynote basically saying, like, as secure as the thumbprint scanner was, the face is like 100 times more secure.
I get it.
I don't know whether that's true or not. It's tough to say.
Even if you believe it.
Right.
And that's fine. I still don't like the notion of, like, Apple being the one to convince an entire population of people that facial identity and scanning and, like, that sort of opening of a door is like, okay.
It also, like, if you spent 6 months just trying to copy one person's face to fool an iPhone, don't you think you could do it?
Yeah.
I don't think you would need 6 months. I realized the part of the test that they did was they went to Hollywood and, like, had them make masks of people.
And then they like slid in that caveat. They're like, yeah, but if you have an identical twin, that might be weird. That might get dicey.
Right.
Isn't that weird that they were like spending all this time on the keynote with these ridiculous sci-fi looking scanner.
That's why
demos.
Two-factor is important. You don't just use, like, one.
Right. And they're like, oh, we'll blast 40 microscopic pinballs at your face and all these things. But if you have an identical twin, couldn't crack that nut.
Because it needs to be broad enough that, like, if you gain a bunch of weight or shave,
right,
it still works.
So or wearing glasses.
Or wearing glasses, whatever. So it needs to be a certain amount of, like, lenient.
I'm really looking forward to, like, all the weird stuff that's going to come from that.
Yeah.
Because there will be this sort of circus.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, man, if you can do it in a mirror... You could trick it with a mirror.
Like, you're telling me, okay, here's a good example. You're telling me if I stole Tiger Woods' phone and took it to Madame Tussauds and held it up at the Tiger Woods at Madame Tussauds, don't you think it would unlock?
That's a great feature.
Right? They talk about people that spend a long time trying to copy people. Some of those wax dummies look pretty damn real. I would guess Tiger Woods probably not at Madame Tussauds anymore.
I feel like this is funny because there's a way to do it where, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, so we should also mention there are limitations, and one of the limitations was actually shown on stage, which is when you turn the phone on, I guess in the morning or something.
What?
So on stage it failed.
No, it didn't.
Well, but the first time you activate it, you need to put in your password. Like, you can't just use
face. I think after you restart it.
You restart it, yeah. So it's similar, the iPhone with the thumbprint. Now, you need to enter your Apple password.
After a reboot or something, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the morning thing?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, yeah, if you rebooted your phone overnight,
gotcha.
Died overnight, and then you restarted it. Yeah. Yeah, that might be... Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting.
I don't know. I'm like very uneven about the whole thing. I think, like, facial stuff, I don't know. I've never tried to fly that flag before where it's like privacy, you know, but once the face stuff just to me is strange.
It doesn't bother me from a security standpoint.
Like a fingerprint, for whatever reason, I accepted it with open arms. I was just like, yeah, that's awesome. But when it comes to your face, that bothered me. I don't know what it is. It's not based around anything that I kind of hold dear.
Weirdly, it's less like a privacy concern for me and more just it doesn't seem very secure, and which we've been talking about. Like, it seems like there are ways to break it. Again, what do I know? We won't know for sure. But, like, that seems like the potential for problems. I wonder, I'm sure there are examples of people trying to, like, fool the fingerprint scanner.
Yeah.
Because that can't be that hard. So, like,
I don't know. I don't know if anyone's been able to crack it.
You just do, like, a
3D
scan and then, like, 3D print a thumb.
I don't know.
But.
All right, I want to talk about the 10 more in general, and then we can kind of wrap things up. So I feel like the sales pitch for the 10, for me, was really not compelling. Like, I don't give a shit about this phone.
Sure.
I mean,
I'm excited about it, but
why are you excited about it? Why have you drank the Kool-Aid?
Well, I think Like, it's weird when you're using a phone. Like, if you're kind of like, you feel like you use Apple products a lot and you're like, I use an iPhone all the day, all day.
All the live long day.
The fact that I've been using what is essentially, build-wise, the same phone as a 6 since the 6 came out.
So you're just an actual refresh of what the hardware looks like. That's got you.
That's part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
They just made it look a little different.
Well, the screen is bigger, and it's edge to edge.
It's an OLED screen.
Yeah,
you can get that.
Nicer screen. What do you mean you can get that?
You can get an OLED screen on
an Android.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use Android.
But I'm just saying, like, for me, like, they spent a lot of time making a piece of shit talk.
Yeah, that was a bold choice. Here's what I'm gonna say.
Say.
You know who's gonna lose their mind over that?
Kids.
Dylan will lose.
No, I'm not gonna get it.
He'll
never know.
Kids. Dylan, not necessarily Dylan. And he will know because people will just like copy it on other systems.
Right.
But like, have you shown him like the Snapchat filters stuff?
Yeah. He's like, what is that?
Why do I have a reindeer nose?
Why am I a deer?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think stuff like that is, you know, I don't know. I think that is cool as tech.
Sure.
I think leading with that and being like, well, this is the new iPhone. You remember when we revolutionized music 15 years ago? Well, here's where we're at now.
Yeah.
And here's what's next on the docket.
I mean, look, I think every technology company, you know, Android phones included, have struggled over the last 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Being like, because like the... As you said, diminishing returns. And that's not just for cameras, that's for everything.
And
so there's no like mind-blowing thing anymore.
I get it. And I understand they are in bed now. They've made their bed. They have to do a circus every year.
Sure. And it's good for their stock and it's good for their customers want that. So
I guess, but like, is there something like the one company where it's like, "Oh, well, at least Apple's probably going to do good." At least whatever awful stuff that happens in the world, at least like we can look to Apple as like the smartest people, you know, that we have in the world of tech.
Who's talking right now?
I don't know. Just like the general consciousness of humanity where it's like there's a lot of awful shit going on in the world, but at least Apple's doing the right thing. You know,
I mean the right thing.
Or at least they're moving us forward. Fine. At least they're moving us forward and, you know, we're paying them a lot.
Well, we are paying them a lot. There's no question.
But you hear what I'm saying? Like,
that's
like the second bullet point in this phone, man.
I understand. Here's when I think of Apple and why I get excited about new Apple products for the most part is I feel like there is a level of polish and
yes, their products are fantastic.
Right. And that's what I get excited about when they make a new product. Is it worth $1,200? That's a tough sell. That's a lot of money. You know, they do make, I think, very good products. Are they life-changing products? I don't know that they've made a life-changing product since the iPhone 1.
Yeah, I think the iPad.
I don't think the iPad is a life-changing. Like, my life was not dramatically changed by I like the iPad as a product.
Yeah.
My life was not dramatically changed by it. I think it opened a new marketplace. But you know, like, iPad sales aren't like
they're down
booming.
Yeah.
Because people get one and they're like, oh, I kind of use it every once in a while and it's like a nice whatever laptop alternative, but it's not life changing. I think the iPhone was life changing. And the iPod was life changing. Like there were other MP3 players, but the fact that they put this product out there that became like the standard was huge. How many times in a company's life cycle can you pull that off?
I get it. It took the iPod a while to catch on, too.
Did it?
I remember the first one came out.
Very expensive.
Yeah, it was very expensive.
I don't remember
it was doing super well out of the gate. My buddy Bobby had one.
Yeah.
And I always remember looking at it being like, what is this crazy thing? Yeah. It had like a FireWire port on top.
Yeah, it was very weird.
It was like a juice box.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there you have it. I don't know. It was a lukewarm thing.
Sure.
And again, I know what you're going to say. You're looking for like the mind.
You're looking for a nuke going off, like that Whoa, level of not, cool. not a literal
it's
nuke.
Not, dude, no, it's not
a nuke of innovation. How about that?
Yeah.
You're looking for that. You're looking for something that you've never ever seen before. And
yes, I have not seen a talking shit on a phone before.
Touché. I'm sure that exists on phones sometime in the future. It could be 10 years before you see something like that level.
And you know they're trying to do this. It's not like they're, you know, saying, oh, keep, you know, let's not do anything.
No, they, yeah, I think they do push the limits of, like, things they're trying.
Yeah.
I think what you'll see is a smaller company come out and do something totally insane, and then a bigger company will buy them and then integrate that sort of idea into their phone.
That's the way it works. You think, let's talk about Nintendo real quick and then we can say goodbye. You think Nintendo's going to make enough Super Nintendos for the
SNES? Well, here's a question is, what is enough?
Enough where everyone who wants one gets one.
That, I don't think that's good business.
No, I disagree.
The model of supply and demand.
I do.
It shouldn't be everyone.
There are
enough. It should be 90% of the people that want.
There are enough PS4s.
Okay, that's sure. But in the first year, they were kind of maybe tough to get. I don't know. Here's what I'm going to say.
I understand what you're saying, too.
Yeah, I'm saying.
You never want to overproduce.
No, you want to produce at like 80%. Or whatever I'm sure there's a macroeconomic.
Like you
want to
do kind of where the Switch is at like now,
right?
Where like you could probably find one, but maybe not.
Yeah, the Switch is probably a little low in terms
it's
of
probably
supply.
Like 60, right?
Yeah. Are they going to make enough? I think
my problem is like the messaging has been all over the place.
Because I don't think they know for sure. I honestly don't think they know. I do want to mention before I forget how right I was when you were like, they're never, ever going to sell the NES Classic again.
Oh, shit.
And here we are.
I'm wrong.
Right. I mean, it's smart. It's what I said before. It's still the case. You get another round of marketing and promotion by making them seasonal. Every time they come back in stores, it's another like, ooh, did you get it?
But so, well, I had said, yes, they will, but it'll be different games.
Okay, that's okay.
Like, you don't think they'll do a Super Nintendo version 2?
No.
With like 30 new games?
No.
Okay. I'll just be quiet now.
Because it's silly. Like, you're going to have like two Super Nintendos sitting next to each other on your
what
couch.
Is this?
If anything, they'll have like whatever. They'll sell like a memory card or some crap that you plug into it. Are they going to make enough? Who knows? You want to talk about? You just open one.
I did just open one. Yeah, we just got ours today.
And there's no embargo on the preview, so you can.
Yeah, there's no embargo.
First impressions on the hardware.
First impressions. It feels even smaller than the NES.
Yeah,
it's adorable. Mm-hmm. The controller wires seem longer. That's important. But it's it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what else can you say about it?
Is this something you're going to use at home?
I don't know. I don't use the NES.
That's right. Did you think you were going to?
Nope.
Right. I feel like a lot of people buy these things, and I've said this before, but buy these things with like the hope of nostalgia and like, well, we're going to all sit around like I used to when I was a kid, and you're going to do that one night.
I brought it home once during the holidays and like showed friends, and they're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here.
Let's go drink.
Let's go drink beer now.
Right. So like, you know, I think it's cool and it's like a nice, if you want to spend $80 on a gift, that's like a nice, thoughtful gift someone.
When you talk about it like that, the way we're sort of like nonchalant, like, and I know I'm not trying to downplay it. We're very privileged where we just get them sent to us. And I know,
but there's
people,
only one, and it's technically not yours.
Oh, it's not. I'm saying like, I wouldn't buy one.
Right.
You know,
I think that's the rubric.
I think the thing is like, you know, there's a lot of people who like really want this thing and I can appreciate how bad you want it. But the way we sort of like nonchalantly say like, oh yeah, the novelty wears off really quick. I don't know. When I look at it from that angle, I'm almost like, well, maybe they didn't think they'd sell as many as they did the first time around. Because
I think they had, well, certainly they had for the NES Classic, they had no idea what they, like,
right. They were just like,
the scale
here
of
we
it.
Go.
They had no idea. I think they thought it was going to do well, but I don't think they had any clue it was going to be the gift. So I think they are a little more prepared this time around, but like, for people at home, they're like, am I going to go on eBay and spend $150 for one? The thing to ask yourself, honestly, is if you had, like, when was the last time you had people over to play video games at your house? When was the last time?
Yeah, but that's not what you should think about. It's not the two-player stuff.
No?
No, I think the draw here is like, oh, I want to play Super Mario World.
Okay.
No, you think the
No, I guess that's right. When I think of it as a gift, I think of it like not someone sitting alone playing. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should. But I don't know. I think of it as like a living room piece. It's like, hey, let's play Mario Kart all together, even though that wasn't a very good Mario Kart game.
Oh, blasphemy. It was okay.
Super Nintendo, the first one?
The first one's pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not the N64 one.
No, N64 is, everyone knows that's the best one. The new one's really good on Switch too.
It's just, you know, as with all fads, like, I, you know, the first week is like a tough week for people that like having new technology, because it's like everyone's on Twitter being like, hey, I have this and it's amazing and it's the best thing ever. And then after that week, it like starts gathering dust and stuff like that. And I'm sure there are number of Switches as well out there that like haven't been turned on. I play my Switch all the time, but like I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't. So
do you think they make a 64?
Yeah, they'll probably, yeah, I think they'll probably go down the line. I think the 64 will probably be a couple years, 2 or 3 years. It is weird to think like, and then GameCube, and then like how
they're not going to do GameCube.
No,
the GameCube games are like 3 gigs each. What are like,
no, they're not. They're not that big.
They're big.
Well, but even, okay, so five years down the road.
So they're a gig each.
Okay, so 5 years down the road, a single SD card is going to hold 3 terabytes.
I understand. I'm just saying.
It probably
saying,
does
like,
right now, to be honest.
No, they do have ones that are close to that. I just think like,
size is not an issue. It's weird.
I don't know. You're telling me there's something there that's going to be a cost, you know.
But it always, like, what is it? Moore's Law? Like, which
no,
is
but
the one?
Just, no, it, yeah, I know what you're trying to say, but like, this the Super NES one is $80.
Okay, for two controllers, you get two controllers.
Okay, the 64 is going to be what, 100?
Well, because those dumb controllers are expensive.
And then are you going to charge $200 for?
I kind of want to see if Nintendo, if someone went to Nintendo was like, hey, you want to redo your effort on the N64 controllers? Let's rethink that. You know that whole left side of the controller that no one used?
Let's just pick it up.
That'll be cure. I'll be interested.
But you hear what I'm saying, right? Like, what are they going to charge for the GameCube one?
I think if they top out at $99, that's fine, and they'll still sell. I mean, it's dependent on whether they'll sell. GameCube doesn't necessarily have like the cachet.
I don't think 64 does either.
I think 64 does.
I think there's 8 games on 64,
and I think that's enough to sell $80, maybe $100 console.
All right.
Maybe.
We'll see how it goes, man.
There's some good games. Ocarina.
Yeah.
Majora's Mask. Mario Kart. Smash.
Okay.
Smash Brothers. What are we up to? 5? No, we're 5.
5.
GoldenEye.
Not theirs. They'll have to license it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm, yeah, maybe then not. It's like a Pierce Brosnan thing. Uh-oh. Gets weird.
Paper Mario?
Okay. We're at 6.5. It's not easy.
Shadows of the Empire.
Okay.
Not theirs either.
Not there.
I'm sure there are other ones I'm forgetting.
Maybe you're
Blast
right.
Blast Core.
Yep. That's worth putting it on. That's going to do it for us. Russ, it's been a damn pleasure.
I mean, I'm going to see you next week. So
I know. But I'm just saying, like,
today,
you,
the
for
last
you
half
me,
hour.
For you and me in
for
here.
For us, it has indeed been a pleasure.
If you want to send a little something for the last episode, we're going to try and play a few.
Like money?
Yeah, money works, or a video, or a voicemail. Your best bet, send a video, but the phone number is still open, 866-404-CNET, or you can email us, the404@CNET.com. I'm still getting a bunch of stuff in through that account, so do that. Reach out on Twitter, we'll see you for the last one.
Are you going to write something to end it off?
No, I'm not
like
trying
a Johnny
to make...
Carson letter?
No, dude. I am not trying to make this a thing. I don't want it to be a thing.
I know, but it just happened that way, right?
We didn't end it for a while because I just didn't know how to do it.
Right.
And it occurred to me, like, just do it.
Just do it. Like
just
the, like
do
the
it.
Nike ads.
It's not the inspiration, but sure. Sure. So that's what we'll do. We'll have a good time next week. Some old friends, a few laughs, and we'll see where it goes. Until then, have a fantastic weekend, and we'll see you guys for the last time next week.